And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The International Lutheran Councils, the ILC, 2022 World Conference in Kenya adopted a resolution for continued ecumenical conversations with the Roman Catholic Church and approving the final report of the conversations of the ILC and the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, the PCPCU, which was published in 2020. Discussion of the topic began on September the 14th, 2022, when the Reverend Dr. Werner Klahn of Germany reported on the results of the theological discussions between the International Lutheran Council and the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, which has recently been renamed the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity. The final report on the conversations was jointly published by the ILC and the PCPCU in 2021 and found significant convergences between the two traditions in a number of areas. In a written response to the report, Cardinal Kurt Koch of the PCPCU expressed pleasure at the warming of relations between the churches of the ILC and the Roman Catholic Church. On the basis of the report's valuable theological contribution to Concordia Lutheran Catholic Ecumenism, it went on to encourage the founding of a joint Concordia Lutheran Catholic Working Group as a forum for continued conversation between the PCPCU, now the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity, and the International Lutheran Council. In particular, he suggested such a working group take on the task of providing a joint rereading of the Augsburg Confession, the AC, between Roman Catholics and the ILC in the lead-up to the 500th anniversary of the publication of the AC in 2030. ILC Chairman Hans-Jürg Voigt likewise welcomed the results of the international discussions after the final report was released, writing that the process of reception of the final report in the churches of the ILC has already begun. He concurred with Cardinal Koch's suggestion of the founding of a working group, calling it a very appropriate way of deepening common theological work. In his report to the conference, Dr. Klahn went on to note the positive response to the final report already seen in ILC churches in Germany and Australia, while the Reverend Dr. Gerson Linden of Brazil, another member of the dialogue group, likewise commented on its usefulness in the Latin American context. Dr. Klahn encouraged the 2022 World Conference to receive the suggestions of Cardinal Koch and ILC Chairman Voigt and adopt a resolution committing to continued ecumenical conversations with the Roman Catholic Church. That resolution came before the World Conference on September the 16th, during which time the ILC adopted a resolution to approve the report of the ILC, PCPCU Dialogue Group, and to carry forward their work. In the resolution, the 27th ILC World Conference notes its sincere thanks both to the Roman Catholic and the confessional Lutheran representatives in this dialogue for their efforts and preparation of the final report. The ILC herewith approves the final report and supports the continuation of contacts and conversations in appropriate ways and formats, it continues. The 27th ILC World Conference expresses hope that further theological work be done between representatives of the ILC and the PCPCU in the lead-up to the 500th anniversary of the Augsburg Confession in 2030, the resolution goes on to say. To that end, it instructs the ILC's board to begin planning, including funding appropriation, for our council to continue this theological engagement between confessional Lutherans and the Catholic Church. One of Germany's largest mosques sounded the call to prayer for the first time after a years-long battle with local authorities. The central mosque in the city of Cologne played a muezzin call shortly after 3 p.m. last Friday, inviting the city's 100,000 Muslims to pray. Mosques elsewhere in Germany have long been allowed to play the call, but Cologne's move is significant because of the mosque's prominence. Run by the Turkish Islamic Union for Religious Affairs, or DITIB, it was inaugurated by Turkey's President Erdogan in 2018. The city's mayor has said that allowing the call, which can play for a maximum of 5 minutes between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. each Friday, is a symbol of tolerance. But critics say the call is actually symbolic of a brand of repressive Islam and casts the city in a poor light. Others have argued that the mosque itself is a soft power play by Turkish autocrat Erdogan, and allowing the call to play is a symbolic victory for his regime. DITIB says an agreement for a 2-year trial of the call was made with the city last Wednesday. Until now, the call to prayer was heard only inside the building. It was broadcast by a loudspeaker last Friday and was audible outside, though authorities stipulated it should be limited to 60 decibels for nearby residents. Cologne's mayor has said that allowing the call to prayer shows diversity is appreciated in the city. Still, the restrictions imposed on the project point to the sensitivity of the subject, and the construction of the central mosque itself drew opposition from right-wing groups, Cologne's then archbishop, and others in the late 2000s. A born-again Christian police officer who struggles with mental health has lost an appeal after suing his bosses over claims his colleagues asked if he had his pants on his head and pencils up his nose and called him Father Ted. Ex-South Wales PC Winston Roderick, 48, said he was forced to quit the force after 14 years due to cruel colleagues mocking his anxiety and depression alongside a host of other work problems. He lost an employment tribunal on the matter last year and has now had his case thrown out by a judge sitting at the Employment Appeal Tribunal in London. The Christian pastor had sued for disability-related harassment and complained of religious bullying, claiming a colleague told him that Jesus didn't exist and the Bible was a pile of nonsense. Judge Michael Fall, KC, said there was nothing wrong with the lower tribunal's dismissal of his case. The original trial found some claimed comments were never made, and that the quip about having pants on his head, a reference from a Blackadder episode called A Bout of Insanity, was banter, which Mr. Roderick had said about himself first. The appeal tribunal heard Mr. Roderick began his police career in South Wales in 2003 and served as a constable until he resigned following a string of issues in December 2018. He claimed a colleague at the unit in Merthyr Tydfil had made fun of his mental health illnesses, including disabling stress, anxiety and depression, by making light-hearted comments while he was at work. But just because he himself made the pants on his head quip, first as a coping mechanism following his struggles, it did not mean that others could do the same, he claimed. Last year, the tribunal found it was banter, despite his argument that it was a similar situation to a person of one race using an offensive racial comment about themselves, then seeing it inappropriately repeated and used by others. Superiors on the force had also failed to make reasonable adjustments to help him cope with the workload, while disabled by his mental health issues, he claimed. He said he'd been put into an environment at work with tight deadlines to process prisoners and found it so stressful that he fell sick at the thought of going to work. But dismissing the appeal bid, Judge Fall said the issue had been a question of fact for the tribunal to decide. Other officers had thought the quips were jokey references to Monty Python sketches, it said in its ruling. The claimant had initiated it and it didn't amount to harassment, he said. It didn't satisfy the statutory test of undermining the claimant's dignity or respect. This was a factual question. The tribunal was entitled to act and decide in the way it did. The judge also said the tribunal had been entitled to find on the evidence that Mr. Roderick had not been subjected to religion-based bullying. The tribunal had found that Father Ted claim never happened, and in expressing a belief that Jesus Christ didn't exist and the Bible was nonsense, his colleagues had not been commenting on his religion, but in response to his proselytizing at work. Someone who proselytizes can hardly complain if others disagree, particularly if that person invites comments, said the judge. He also rejected criticism of the tribunal's finding that the force had not made reasonable adjustments to help him cope with his work. The tribunal had found that the reason for Mr. Roderick struggling at work was not the specific unit he was in, but the stress he felt when working alongside properly functioning colleagues. Moving him to another role elsewhere would not have helped, it found. Mr. Roderick's religious and disability discrimination claims, as well as a claim of constructive dismissal, were dismissed because the tribunal found his resignation letter mostly focused on historical frustration at his lack of promotion. It had concluded, as the respondent put it, the claimant arrived in the hub as a disgruntled officer and nothing changed in its attitude. We agree. The appeal judge backed the tribunal's reasoning and rejected Mr. Roderick's appeal bid. The ingenuity and dishonesty of ancient Roman gamblers has been brought to light by the discovery of a hollowed-out dice filled with mercury. Players would secretly allow the mercury to run to the bottom of the loaded dice before throwing it, weighting it in their favour to ensure that they won the large sums that were being bet. The discovery of the 2nd century con trick was made by Thomas Danio, a PhD student at the University of Freiburg in Switzerland. Danio, who studied Greco-Roman games, said that cheating was widespread at the time. His findings have been taken by French media as evidence that human nature has changed little over the past 2,000 years. Although gambling was outlawed on pain of jail or exile, the practice persisted as enormous sums were being staked. During his work on ball games in the Roman province of Gaul, which covered contemporary France and its northern European neighbours, Danio studied 10,000 objects in 23 French museums and archaeological departments, including numerous dice. Some had numbers missing and others doubled up. One dice made of bone and found in the central French dwelling with its secret gambling room had been hollowed out by what must have been a master craftsman who had weighted it with lead. The dice containing mercury was found in 2000 during an archaeological dig in Belgium, where it was broken by a trowel. Archaeologists noticed the mercury leaking out of it, but left it in a Belgian museum until Danio studied it. He said, "I tried to put the objects used for cheating into their context. The dice was doubled up with doubled up numbers, tended to have been found in the houses of people with modest means. The dice loaded with mercury or lead were found in wealthier contexts. The conclusion is that all levels of society gambled and cheated." And finally, Pastor Jamie was digging in his garden when he found a chest of gold coins. He wanted to run and tell his wife about it, but then he remembered why he was digging in the garden.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.